I see some faces here that are hoping they're going to get something interesting this evening. I see some faces here who've heard everything what happened on our Spanish trip. Is that right, Jerry? I trust this evening you'll be able to get a little bit of a picture of what we did. I was previewing the pictures here earlier, and it's like, wow, nothing but us, not much of Nicaragua. So we'll depend on us to tell y'all what us did. Tim will lead us in some songs, and we'll have a bit of a devotional and announcements and a prayer time before we dive into looking at the pictures and hearing the students. Students, I guess they're not students right now, but anyhow, listening to them talk about their experiences. Tim. I'd like to take time to share a few thoughts from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Being with this group of young people, it was quite the experience. Some of the things that I noticed in the time we were in Nicaragua, especially in Nicaragua, was, First Corinthians 12 talks about the body and different members and how each member has different offices and each one is useful, and one cannot take the place of another. There's several times when it says, you know, the foot shall not say to the eye, I don't need you, and along that line. And interacting with these young people, I noticed that it's very much like that. Some aren't afraid to speak Spanish, even if it's even if it's not right. But you know, and others are useful in other things. Like we all ate, we all dirtied clothes, and there were some who jumped in and washed dishes. There were some who jumped in and helped Doña Ana wash the clothes, and then there were others who grabbed suitcases and carried it for the young ladies. And almost died doing it. What am I saying? I'm saying this group reflected what the church is supposed to reflect. It was a great experience, and I commend you for that. Chapter 14 talks about tongues, speaking in tongues. And and I knew that these Spanish students, after having 1 year of Spanish, would have difficulty in understanding and expressing themselves in Spanish in Latin America. To what extent, I wasn't sure. But, you know, I didn't really realize the difficulty that the Latins would have in communicating with these people. I think they thought these guys would be able to talk, at least some, and they'd be able to converse. And let me just give you one example. Marcos Miller's wife, Carla, is Nicaraguense, and she doesn't speak English. And one of the girls spent the day with her. And it wasn't probably an hour into the time that the young lady was there with Carla when Marcos got a phone call from Carla complaining how they just can't communicate. He said, well, you have to talk slow. I did. I talk fast and she can't understand anything. Well, then he said, you have to speak English. Someone has to interpret. Usually, if Sharon or I were along, it wasn't too bad. We were able to do that for them. But when it was just two people, one of them can't speak English and the other can barely speak Spanish, there's a difficulty. Another example is the fellas stayed with two young men who literally knew no English, and they said the one evening they got tired of trying to talk, so they just sang all evening in Spanish. Hey, there's different ways of communicating. I'm glad this evening that at least here, we all speak the same language. It may be several different languages that we can speak, but we can all understand each other, whether it's Dutch or English. Paul tells us also in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians that every part is needed in the body, in the church, to make it function. I think the Lord knew why there were eight of them in the class. Why they had 15 2 years ago, I don't know. I suppose that worked out too. But we had to write them out, and we had a great time. And I hope that this evening that will be reflected. We want to take a few minutes here and take your prayer requests.
We traveled down on May 11th and had a fairly long wait at Houston. I think some of the pictures will be showing that. Then we flew on down. It was nighttime by the time we got there, and we were picked up by some of the CAM personnel. CAM has a base in Managua, and a fairly large modern complex is where we stayed that night. Then we had to repack and kind of take as little as possible back to Waslala, leaving early the next morning.
That's day one.
That was day one.
We'll show the pictures. These are actually all pictures in Houston yet. I think Sharon kind of rushed through these. Keep going, Marvin. Explain this one, Sharon.
Go back.
This was just a little boy that was sitting close by where we parked, and we invited him to play Uno with us, and he did well. Another interesting encounter at Houston Airport was meeting Tim and Rosa Schrock and their family who were on their way down. Tim's live a little bit beyond Waslala, and it was good to catch up with them, but I don't believe we have any pictures.
To pass the time, we also folded some $1 million bills and passed them out to random people. There were Spanish $1 million bills, so we had to be careful who we gave them to. A very tall man.
They wanted me to stand beside him. I didn't want to get too close. I'm afraid he might catch on what was going on.
We got very tired of the trip, sitting there a long time, so finally our flight down. This is Manawa, aerial view during the night. I think we arrived about 10 in the evening or so.
Day two kind of began at about 2 o'clock in the morning, which meant we had about 3 hours to sleep. And headed to the bus station, and then had a very long 7-hour bus ride on a very interesting cultural bus. You might want to move the pictures on. It was very cultural. A lot of vendors selling food and yelling around. It wasn't really, really comfortable. Great scenery along the way. This was a Catholic parade of some sort that we stopped and watched because we didn't have much choice. This was what our bus was like from the outside, or at least similar to that.
This is Pablo's house from the front.
Pablo is Judy's brother, and they kind of, well, Pablo wasn't there, but his wife Uni took care of us, and we had a lot of enjoyable times right there.
We were walking through the jungle and came upon these. Nice. Pablo really likes snakes. And so he had this snake pit out in the back, and we went and observed them for a while. And he also had another tree of just two poisonous snakes that were in a very small pit, and the piece of sheet metal around the edge was not very high, in my opinion.
That one wasn't the poisonous snake. It was just a python.
Tired Seth.
Lots and lots of onions.
We went and visited the Libera. Anyways, and we were more interested in looking at the children instead of visiting. And they were playing
a game. This is a pretty typical shot of the streets. Just a lot of the houses have pretty amazing paint and things like that. This is Marcos Miller on the left. He was our trip coordinator. He is the brother of Timo Miller, the one that is, yeah, I think you know.
Alvino built this little building. It was very cool. This is Pablo's pet monkey that ran around and stayed around.
In the States, you see signs, beware of dog. There they had a sign in Spanish which said basically, beware of the monkey. This is Jacinto's house out back at Pablo's. Where Jacinto has lived before they moved back to Zapotecum. Marcos and his son Marquitos.
Also, I might mention that the girls and Willard and Sharon stayed in this house for a few days in the beginning when we were in Wasalala. This is Elmer. He was one of the boys that Sky stayed at. He was 16, and we had a good time at first, but we got tired of each other not understanding each other all the time.
Day 3 was Friday, and we all divided up into different groups. And okay, actually, this looks like Saturday's pictures. Okay, never mind. Yeah, day 3 was the day that we all divided up into different places. I'll tell you a little bit about my day. I stayed with a 19-year-old girl, and we packaged up some stuff to begin with, and then we headed over the road to Louise's place, and I'll let you tell her what she did.
Well, I am the one that stayed with Carla. The one that Willard told you about earlier. It was very interesting, to put it simply. One of the things that we did during the morning was we packaged what they call gelatinas, which is basically Jell-O that they freeze in little bags and then they sell to customers. So yeah, we did that for most of the morning. And then in the afternoon, we took a little hike out back to a little creek with a waterfall. So that's what we did.
That is Holly, went to the Liberia, and I thought it was a library because the word sounded kind of like library, but it wasn't really. It was more of a convenience store, sort of, and I was only trusted with the candy, which I was fine with, but I didn't really understand the little children because they would go up to the counter and they just rabble off this thing in Spanish, and I didn't understand. So I usually double-checked everything with the English-speaking person behind the counter. It was amazing, though. By the end of the day, I could communicate without saying a word to those little children. We just kind of clicked and pointed to things, and I got them for them, and it was very interesting. I did practice my Spanish, though.
I spent the day with Janie, Pablo's daughter, at her little fabric shop, and I kind of thought I was maybe one of the lucky ones because I got to be with an English-speaking person all day. But I did work with. She had two girls working for her that both did not speak English, and so I worked with them. We packaged gifts for a special occasion, and I cut some fabric and stuff, and it was fun, but it was also very tiring to try to be communicating in Spanish.
So this is the place where Sky stayed, and this was our breakfast. It was rice and beans, and we also had leche, which is some bit hot. Hot chocolate. Leche, which is milk. And Elmer prepared our rice and beans breakfast. He was very eager for that because the evening before we had served eggs, and he doesn't like eggs.
Along with the leche con chocolate, we had pinol, which was kind of new for us. It's sort of a dry ground corn type of thing that you mix in with hot chocolate or just plain water or milk or whatever you want. And it's pretty good if you get to learn to like it. I think most of us did to a certain extent.
Okay, well, here we're working a little bit. We're peeling chucas, I believe. They're kind of like potatoes, except better, actually. And this is the house we stayed in.
Actually, this house is Jonathan and Jessica's house on their farm. Jonathan would be a brother to Marcos, who was our tour guide, and Jessica is Pablo's daughter.
This was Julio. What's his name? Julio. One of the other. It was the other boy that we stayed with. He wasn't around as much as Elmer was, so we didn't do a whole bunch with him. But he was more patient, and he understood our side sort of a little more than Elmer did. He would do a lot of hand signs, and I could communicate a lot better with him than I could with Elmer.
This is what the guys got to do on Friday. A lot of yard work, cleaning up around there. I think Marvin made the comment that it's kind of interesting we got to do this so we could come on a trip and do it again.
Here we are pausing for a break. we were right along a main road, and about every bus that came through would stop, and they would run over and get water and dump it into their bus. And we never understood exactly why, but we... It happened often, and so I had to take a picture of it.
I'll say something.
Well, that last picture was me with Janie, and the next picture is these are the two girls I worked with.
This is a literal pig in the blanket. And it was squealing very loudly the whole time.
Sending letters back home.
It's proofreading that letter.
I stayed at the Pupuseria, and the lady I worked with, she didn't talk any English at all.
So that was kind of interesting. And I don't have any pictures to prove it, but I did learn how to make pupusas. But I don't think I did that well because she made me eat all the ones I made. This is on Louise and I's hike back to a little pool, and some of us actually swam in there then.
Okay, this is Zicola, and across the road from where Sky stayed, there was a store that people would sell merchandise. And I went over there one time to buy a Coca-Cola, and I walked up to the window, and this woman came to help me, and I said, "I want a cola." And she didn't understand me exactly. And so I said, "Again, I want a cola." And she was like, "Oh, a Coca-Cola." And I was like, "Yeah." And I couldn't understand that later until I told, I think, Willard. And then he said, "That cola means tail." And so she did not understand why I wanted a tail. So the next time when I went back to buy another one, then I said it properly, and she grinned a little bit.
The guy in the middle is Daniel. Yeah, he's a secretary at the clinic in Kusavi.
That night, we were at Marco's house for supper.
On the way back to our house from Marco's house, there's tons of little kids out playing in the dark. And take a picture with a bright flash, and boy howdy, can you get them attention. And it's a great way to make friends and interact with the kids there.
I don't know if you've noticed some of the pictures that were taken. Some of us had kind of red faces or looked rather tired. We did a lot of walking in Waslala, back and forth from the different places.
Us guys didn't know how to use their washing machines. And so... Liz, one of Albino's daughters, and Sharon were showing us how to use the washing machines. They were very complicated. And on the way back, us guys stopped in. Well, one of the guys, the guys that were in our group sort of left us. They would just sort of randomly disappear into a house. And so eventually it was just Danielle and us three guys, and we weren't quite sure, you know, what to do. So then we stopped down at a church lady's house, and she gave us water, and we waited for the guys, and then one of them never showed up, so we just kept on walking then. And we had to entertain ourselves some way. Then when we got back, we actually washed our clothes and hung them out. And incidentally, it takes clothes very long to dry because it's so humid. And this is the washing machine. This is the upstairs where Sky stayed. Day 4, us guys woke up pretty late because we got like 11, 12 hours of sleep a night. We really enjoyed that. And the girls complained to us when they arrived at our house that they woke up at like 4 or 5. And this day, they came to our house and we walked back and looked at a waterfall. And then we went to Lorraine's house for lunch, which is one of the missionary ladies there. And then we sang at a home, and then we played volleyball with the youth group, and then later in the evening we went to the pupuseria and ate pupusas.
My mention on the sleep patterns. Daylight patterns there are a little bit different as well. It gets bright about 6 o'clock in the morning. No, it gets bright about 5 and gets dark about 6 in the evening. So the guys we were staying with were up and raring to go at about 5:30 or 6, and we were just not there. And they could not imagine how we could sleep until 8 o'clock. So there was that kind of accounts for some of the 12-hour nights.
The girls and we had bussed back to where the fellows stayed, and had an interesting sermon on the way back. There was a young man that just did a fine job of preaching to us, and he was thankfully on target, but most of the girls didn't understand too much of it.
Marcos was telling us about the cacao bean. Jonathan has quite a few cacao bushes or trees there on his farm, and we were listening to him discourse about the bean.
And it was very funny because when we were watching, then one of the girls accidentally swallowed one. And it really cracked us up. We were bored. when we got back from our hike, we waited up at the house, and we were supposedly going to catch a bus ride back into town to go for lunch, but we missed the bus by accident, and so later they had to come get a truck and haul us up. This is Lorraine's house, and that is Lorraine. They were big on architecture. They had beautiful designs, like the gates were always fancy, and brilliant paintings on the houses. This is where we were walking to the old people's home. It was sort of in a slummy part of town. Their wheelchairs and their facilities were just not what we have around here. One of the old men. Many, many ice creams vendors along the road. This was our first truck ride, and so we were thrilled.
Talk about it. At the Pupuseria, the lady in the dark dress, she had worked in El Salvador, and that's where she learned to make pupusas. And then a Salvador girl moved back with her, and they opened that pupuseria. I think the name is unique, with a combination of Salvador and Nicaragua.
Marvin, can I tell the group about your prayer? Is it okay if I do that? And I don't know, was it at the pupuseria? We had different tables there, and he prayed for to ask the blessing on the food for his small group there, I think is the way it was. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear it, but I found out later that he thanked God for the shirt instead of the food, because he was praying in Spanish.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Sunday. Okay, so Sunday we got up really early, all of us, including the guys. And we stood on the back of a truck and zoomed back to Sapotikun. And we drove for about 2 hours. When we got there, we took a long hike back through the hills. And as it turns out, we walked a lot longer than church lasted, so that was okay. And then that evening, we split up into a few different houses again. And this was way back in the hills, so the houses, they had outhouses if we were lucky.
These are just scenery pictures along the road. That bridge, they would repair only what was necessary. And let me go back. This picture was funny because it was a very narrow road, and Seth just mentioned, I hope we don't meet a truck along the road. And just over the hill, there was a massive truck, this truck, and it was literally piled full with as many people. I mean, you can maybe get one or two more on.
There was some kind of political demonstrator that day, that's where the crowds were heading for.
This is our walk back to church. We had to recuperate when we got to church because it was so hot.
This was after we got back. 40-minute hike in the middle of the day. Well, let's just say it didn't feel like a day of rest.
Some of us were banking on the water spring close to the church house, and we were walking faster than some of the others, so we didn't stop by that, and so we were very thirsty when we got to church, and we didn't get a drink or a good drink until on the way back, so let that be a lesson. And then that afternoon, we just sat around on their porch, and we had a time.
That's what happens when you don't pay attention to what's going on behind you. We ate lunch and spent a good bit of the afternoon at Hermano Marcelo's house back at Zapoticum. It's where Jacinto and Kendra live. Marcelo's a very interesting man, a very talkative man, lots of experiences. He shared a lot of his experiences during the war. Tim, you need to talk about this guy.
This was Mark Hooker. And he told you that. He spoke very good English. He was a general in the war. And, he was captured and tortured during the war. So some things are not quite all right in his head, and sometimes the sparks fly. He gave us probably 10-minute sermons, and they were fiery. Nothing to do about the Bible, just the USA and the politics and things like that, and it was amazing.
This is Marcellus. This was funny because these little kids were very camera shy, and at church, Sharon was trying to get a picture of them, and they would not cooperate, so eventually the girls ran around and chased them around the church house to get a picture of them. And then when we were at the house, then all of a sudden they became non-camera shy, and they looked at the picture and they had a good time.
This is how I felt after my Sunday afternoon nap on the hard concrete floor with no blankets or pillows.
Climax of our trip. Seth dutifully carrying a bag up our mountain.
This is our hike back in to where the girls were staying Sunday afternoon. Lots and lots of almost straight up and down with backpacks and lots of heat.
This was finally at the house, and we always sit in, and when you go somewhere you always sit in, and they always serve you a little bit something, and so we recuperated there before the skies headed back down the mountain.
Notice the chickens and pigs trying to share the house. It was kind of interesting.
Non-enthusiastic girls.
The hospitality, though, was wonderful. by our standards, we might think they don't have much. And yet these people willingly and joyfully gave what they had. Beverages that we don't normally drink. And I don't know what this picture is anyhow.
This is a view from the place where Louise and I stayed at. It was very gorgeous. The girl in the pink was one of the girls from the family there, and she was deaf, and she couldn't speak either. That was one of the little boys.
Back at the place where us guys were staying. We talked a long time again on the porch, and then we sort of had a singing match and sort of ended up seeing who could sing the fastest. And he could sing incredibly fast.
Those two little boys can sing like no little boys around here.
Day six.
Good. The morning was milking back at Marcello's house, and it was not your typical dairy farm.
Okay, day six is the day that we traveled back to Waslala then. The first couple pictures are morning pictures about milking cows and thus. I don't know everything, so I'll let other people talk about it for a while.
The milking system there was very awesome. They had this big holding pen, and well, they had two holding pens. They split the calves from the cows, and when they wanted to milk a cow, they'd let out a calf, and the calf would find its mother, and they would tie the mother's back legs and tie the calf to the cow, and then they would milk it, and then they would leave the calf in there, and then they would go do the process over again, and that's how they knew which cows were milked.
You might notice that they tied their chairs to their behinds just for make it easier, I guess.
This was the sunrise that came up about 5. It was very nice.
At our house, we decided we're going to help milk the cows. And I could not do it very well. So I went inside and tried to help make tortillas. And that didn't turn out so well either. But drinking coffee went very well. We could do the coffee. So that was lovely.
This was their kitchen.
I got a real bang out of this pig. It would stand at the doorway and it would snort kind of longingly. And then it would kind of edge its way into the kitchen when nobody was looking. And eventually it would get swatted with the broom and it would go out and have to repeat the process all over again.
They had parakeets. And here we're journaling because we had to keep track of what we did so we wouldn't forget. And these are the girls this is the girls of the family that we stayed with. The one on the far right is the mother. She is 53. And the one girl is 17, the one that I have my arm around. They were just very sweet girls. His name was Eddie. He was darling.
Him and his mother rode back with us to Waslala on the way back. This was where us guys stayed, and we slept, and it was wonderful. It was open air, and it was above their barn there, and so we slept in a barn. We stopped at a bridge.
This is on the way back now to Waslala. We stopped at one of these really cool bridges, and then we stopped at the clinic and help them out there for a while. This is Stephen and Daisy's house. Yeah, we were
very
kind of
motivated
tired.
Group.
We helped them pop some pills and put them in little bags. And for lunch, they ordered tamales for us. They were very amazing. This is our ride back.
Because we're leaving the next morning to go back to Managua, then us guys stopped in. Well, we had to stop at the house and get our luggage. And we did this very frequently. Well, We carried that suitcase along with us. This little girl, we stopped at a chicken market. Well, not really market. It's a butcher shop. And this little girl was sitting out front, and she was very cute. And then she became sort of shy. And, yeah, she was just... handing out suckers. What that was about.
Go back to that picture. Not that I'm so... Anyway, I carried a huge wad of money, felt like, at least. And someone got a picture of it, I guess.
This was the food that we ate at Alvino's house, and his daughters were taking care of us.
You notice some of that food has white stuff on it? That is la crema. And believe me, there is nothing like it in the States. And that's a good thing, not... yeah.
We did not spare any electricity when we had it.
Day 7, we went back to Waslala on another 7-hour bus ride. And then we went shopping yet in the tourist market. And then we went out to eat at a restaurant called La Finca, which translates as the farm. It was really good. And then we kind of drove around just looking at the sights. And this was on the bus. And translated means, with God, the impossible does not exist. So that was really cool.
This was where the throttle cable broke on the bus. And so we were sitting by the road. And someone noticed that if the flash on your camera goes off when you take the picture, then it lights up. So we were entertained by that for a little while. There was one stretch along the road where the vendors would come on and sell you their chicken. And then along that stretch of the road, I don't know, a few miles both ways, there were disgusting dogs. And that was once part of the bus ride that I really hated because they were just gnarly looking dogs.
I really enjoyed the bus rides. It was such a neat thing to watch the people, see the scenery, and of course it brought back a lot of memories for me from having been there before, or just Central American experiences. There was things like hearing chicks peeping on the bus or seeing this little box dangling from the luggage rack and discovering that there's a little parrot inside it, taking that 7-hour bus ride. And sometimes, yeah, the vendors were interesting. The flirting girls were kind of interesting. By the way, they weren't these girls. So, all in all, even though it was a tiring ride, it was a neat cultural experience. This is now back at the CAM base, and... these three children that Marvin was entertaining live there. I think they come from two different homes.
This was our van that we rented for 2 days. Very nice van. It was very roomy. It had the back seats were arranged in a nice way.
This is the market. Down in Managua. Well, just sort of some sightseeing that evening then.
One thing that we found interesting was the way they would light up the city with Christmas lights in the middle of the summer or spring. They were...
Day 8 was one of my favorite days. This was the day that we went and did some tourist stuff. We went ziplining first, and then we went to the beach later. And it was fun to just hang out and not have to think too hard about talking Spanish. It was a good way to end the trip. So this is the place where we went zip lining. It's basically, they put you in a harness and make you wear a helmet, and then they strap you to a cable and send you flying. And there were three different stretches of cable, and it was a lot of fun.
The first stretch went to, it was a long ways over this lake, and it went down, one was here, another one was across those trees to the, another house over here, and then across the lake down to another tree. And you could go upside down backwards on this one, and then Superman style down that. This, this is our group that went.
Okay, this was at Alvino Miller's place, close to the beach. He has a small place there that he's fixing up. There's not actually a house, but there's some small buildings and stuff. So we hung out there for a while and walked down to the beach, and then we had lunch. And then we went to the beach for several more hours.
We were even in the water. This was, some of us went down for the sunset.
This is Marcos with his wife Carla and his little boy. This is Alvino Miller and his wife, Edna.
Day 9 was our day to come back home. The day I was looking forward to. Fortunately, we didn't have to leave early, so there was time for some of us to go back to the market, do a bit of shopping, and yeah, we finally got to the airport then and did all our thing, and then sat there and waited for our flight to board, and then we boarded, and then we sat on the plane for another 2 hours before we took off, and so that brought us to Houston late, and that's why we're sitting in Houston on the floor, waiting to figure out if we're going to get out yet that night or are we going to have to spend the night, which we ended up spending the night in Houston and half the next day before we finally got left. So I think the rest of these pictures are mostly airport pictures, if I'm not mistaken.
Patiently waiting.
And sleeping.
Willard talked about the wad of cash he was carrying around. He had this briefcase that he guarded pretty carefully during the trip. And that last picture was happening in the Houston airport when the briefcase got taken by one of the class members.
Lights, please. In retrospect, after looking at these pictures, oh my goodness, I would have designated someone to think ahead of time what pictures to take and make a good order. But anyway, that's what we did. Do you want to sing yet?
Vamos.
They love to sing in Spanish. So I guess if that's all right with y'all, we'll do a couple of songs in Spanish yet before we close.
Quédate, Señor, aquí. Oh, Cristo.
I dare say that the pictures and the comments made didn't really, really reflect what the trip was all about. It looked like we just did a lot of fun stuff and a lot of partying. There was a lot of that, but there were some really good, serious times interacting with people, and we thoroughly enjoyed that. I think we'll close with this. Why don't we just all stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us of yourself, you've given us life, and given us so much to enjoy. And thank you for this evening. Thank you for this class of Spanish students and our interaction with them. I trust, Lord, that you will continue to minister to each one of us and be glorified. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.